Hello, it's Gina here. It's been a while since I've done an audio boom, and this is to document. I was asked recently to go on Radio Cumbria as part of my life stories. So here is part one.
Life Stories with Kevin Fernyhough.
Hi, my name is Gina. I was born in 1973.
People living in Cumbria talking about their life.
Losing my dad, it kind of like makes you grow up really quickly. I became, I suppose, like a co-parent, really.
The highs.
Not kind of the number one priority to be socialising with your husband's ex-wife and her new husband, but I was sat next to Ange, Dave's ex-wife, and we just said, "Joy, isn't it really nice that we can do this?" And we had a really nice day, and any sort of resentment or things that have happened that have been annoying over the years, you just kind of have to let it go, really.
And the lows.
The IVF treatment that you underwent, sadly, it didn't work.
And I remember my best friend ringing me up, and I said, "I just don't think it's going to work."
From birth.
So I decided that when I was 39, in my 40th year, I would try and do all of these crazy things.
To present.
Keswick to Barrow, when I got the most awful blisters at about 30 miles. And I thought, I've still got another 10 miles to go.
Life Stories on BBC Radio Cumbria.
This is my story.
Let me introduce you to this week's storyteller. Life Stories here on BBC Radio Cumbria, Gina Pennington. Hi, Gina.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Take me back to the very beginning. You were born back in 1973, born in Oxford. Early memories for you then?
Yes, God, that sounds so old when you say 1973. Yes, I was born in Oxford, 10th of July. Early kind of memories, sort of nothing really kind of stands out for me apart from losing my dad when I was 10. I suppose people always think that children don't understand, but I think when you are a child and kind of looking back now, is that things are very black and white to children. You kind of haven't got all the emotions that are associated with adulthood. And my dad was in and out of hospital quite a lot when we were little. And my brother and I know it sounds really macabre to joke, but when people went into the side room, we knew that that was it, they were going to die. So as soon as my dad went into the side room, you just kind of assume, go, "Oh, right, okay, that's going to happen."
Your father was dealing with Parkinson's, yes?
Yes, he was, yes. So it was a complication. He had Parkinson's for probably about 10 years. And obviously back in the 70s, there wasn't the same drugs. There wasn't, you know, the same research into it. He had pneumonia, which kind of obviously, I think, was the actual cause of death. But Parkinson's obviously didn't help.
The devastating loss of your father at just 10 years of age. Have you ever sat down and quietly just thought to yourself, "Oh my goodness, what Mum went through, the responsibility dealing with the loss of your dad and also yourself and siblings to look after"?
Well, as I'm the eldest, it kind of sort of fell to me because I had a brother and a sister, who my brother's 3 years younger than me and my sister's about 10 years younger than me. So, you know, sort of older. So being 10 and kind of losing my dad, it kind of like makes you grow up really quickly. So I became, I suppose, like a co-parent, really, because my mum was so obviously devastated. And I remember on the morning of the funeral, it was me comforting my mum. And I remember shaking Stevens, "You Drive Me Crazy," playing on the radio. And it's just one of those things that just sticks in my head.
It's often said dads and daughters, a very special relationship. You were close?
Yes, I was. I mean, my dad had been, I've got very complex, I suppose these days it's called a blended family. My dad had been married previously. He had three children, and Evie, his daughter, I was very close to her. I mean, unfortunately, she died about 5 years ago. But she used to say that, like, my dad and, you know, we were just like two peas in a pod. I would like scream the house down if I was kind of next to him. And I don't really remember these. So it's kind of, with Evie, she was like my link to my dad, and it was kind of quite nice, you know, hearing the stories and and
growing up quickly, for sure. I'm just painting a scenario in my own head here of you at your father's funeral, you as a 10-year-old having to support Mum.
Yes, it's when you look back on it now, it just sounds so, I don't know, I almost feel a bit embarrassed that people judge and think, "Oh, a 10-year-old supporting, you know, your mother, you know, it should be the other way around." But It's like I said, you just see things very black and white. It's just because it's kind of in my nature to support and to just to be there for people, is that it just felt like second nature, and didn't really. It's only when you get older and you kind of reflect on things and you do question that was kind of wrong.
That inner strength that you were able to pluck from somewhere, the fact that you were there at your father's funeral, 10 years of age, supporting mum, does that say something about Gina, the person that you are?
I think it does. I mean, I am quite a strong, feisty person, but underneath I am just a complete pussy, I'm very, very kind of soft-natured, and it is quite difficult. And obviously when moving forward, my mum then remarried, which was obviously a hard thing to do, and then you have hormones kind of kicking round, and it was almost kind of, but again, you just kind of just get on with it because you don't know any different. You don't know that there's a sort of protocol to do things, whereas I think these days with, when children lose parents, there's a lot more kind of structure in place, and talking about bereavement and about people's feelings is a lot more sort of accepted behaviour now, I think.
You mentioned there, as a young teenager, you found it very, very difficult, and I'm sure many can understand why, mum choosing to remarry. How old were you when mum remarried then?
Mum remarried when I was about 12. Any slight sort of like argument, it would be, stomped upstairs, slam my door, "You're not my dad," which is really horrible when you think back now, because he was just trying to do his best, and obviously it's difficult for him coming into, being a step parent, which obviously I am now. Yeah, and I think it's difficult when you have got the, you're still dealing with your dad's death, and then it just, as a child you think, oh, well, that's okay, you can just replace him with another person.
It's an interesting one, is that, Gina? You talk about that relationship and a stepfather trying to do the best he could for you, for a family, the bereavement, the loss of your father just a few years earlier. You yourself now, as a step-parent, we'll talk more about that later this week, there's almost a delicious irony, I should imagine, certainly as far as your stepfather is concerned, while you have a go now, kind of thing.
Well, I think as well, my two stepboys were obviously a lot easier than I was when there. I mean, I felt like I was a sort of terrible, terrible child, but you do kind of have all this almost like resentment, and you know what it's like. You sort of hurt the ones that are closest to you. So yes, it is quite ironic now that I'm a step parent, and I've never had the reaction from Dean and Jake, my stepsons, that, "Oh, you're not my mum, you can't tell me what to do." So I guess I'm lucky.
What about your own relationship with your stepfather then? Did it improve?
So my mum, so I was sort of like 12, 13, and then when I was 16, I moved out. So I wasn't really kind of at home too much, really. And again, that was just me being a defiant 16-year-old that thought I knew what, knew what everything was all about.
There's a wicked smile on your face right now. You say when you were 16, you moved out. Actually, when you were 16 and three quarters, and I'm looking to some notes you've written for me here, the three quarters really mattered back then. Should you imagine it did?
It did, yes, because when I was 16 and three quarters, I ran away. Not literally ran away, it's a kind of a romantic thing, but yes, I went away to the, came up to live in the Lake District.
You came to live here in Cumbria. You came along with your boyfriend, Adrian. Tell us a little bit about Adrian. How did you come to meet?
Well, when I was, it sounds terrible, when I was at school, doing my GCSEs, like every other kind of teenager, I had a job. Adrian's sister, Angela, was one of the management trainee couples at this pub, and she's like, "Oh, my brother's coming over for New Year," and it's like, "All right, okay." And he was, three and a bit years older than me, so you sort of meet, and it's like, "Oh yeah," and then, "Do you want to go out on a date?" And then you start going out, and he was in the Air Force, which unfortunately he damaged his knee, so he got medical discharge out. So he was based in Gloucester. Came to live in Chipping Norton, which is obviously where I was. And being from Yorkshire originally, hated it down south because it's flat. And he said, I really want to move back up north. So having never been anywhere north of kind